Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. Maybe you're a breakfast eater, maybe you're not, but you do eat at some point in the day. Do you eat everything on your plate? Even before you get there, how much waste is created by the process of making your meal? Food waste is a big issue in the world. By some counts, as much as a third of the food produced ends up someplace besides a person's belly. Food Waste Prevention Week is coming up on April 10th, and we'll talk about reducing food waste now on a local level with two guests. Flavia Franco is a member of Southern Oregon Food Solutions. Welcome, Flavia.
Thank you.
And Adam Holtai is with us as well, the owner of Rogue Produce, which runs a community compost service. Now, hi, Adam.
Hi, Jeff. Thank you.
So, Flavia, talk about your group. You really dove into the research, it sounds like. How big a problem is food waste?
Yeah, it's significant. There's over 300 million Americans, and in the U.S. each year, we generate 119 billion pounds of food loss and food waste in the whole agricultural stream. And that comes out to about $218 billion of loss in our economy due to that. So that it wastes not just the food, but a family's resources, the farmer's resources. It wastes labor, it wastes water, and the soil, too.
So help people understand what you mean when you talk about food waste, though. Because, I mean, some things you're going to just, you know, take off the potatoes, for example, you know, and
sure,
the ends of the green beans, things like that.
The banana peels.
Okay, sure, yeah. Right, the things you don't eat, but that are, you know, they were part of the food. Is that included in the food waste discussion?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And it's a lose-lose when we throw it all into the landfill, because that's where it generates methane when it's deprived of oxygen and buried. And so it's a major contributor to greenhouse gas. Methane is over 80 times more potent than the CO2. And so even though it doesn't last as long, it's still a problem in our fighting climate crisis.
So, Adam Holtai, you got to community compost, I'm guessing, because you were discovering some of the waste of stuff that came to you through the other part of the business, the existing part of the business, Rogue Produce?
Well, yeah, actually, the community compost began before Rogue Produce, just
mm-hmm.
because I recognized right. that the service wasn't available in this region. So, fittingly, the Rogue Produce operation and the online farmers market grew out of the community compost and the relationships I had with the farmers that we were bringing the food scraps to.
Oh, that's really interesting. So the waste came before the provision of the food.
It did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how did you get it going? I mean, how much did you have to learn yourself just to be able to start the collection of scraps?
I had to learn everything, really. I mean, I started with a Dodge Chrysler minivan and a X-Cargo container top, picking up people's buckets and emptying their scraps into the bin, and just meeting various farms. We've worked with probably a dozen different farms up to this point now. But meeting Flavia has been just a blessing, because she's brought together a lot of different organizations that are concerned with things like the food waste prevention. And I had never really thought about how it ties into that up until I had met with Flavia. So,
how then does the community compost work? I mean, how often do people put stuff out? What do they put it in? What can they put out? Just the basics.
Well, our traditional model was just a residential pickup. So we drive to your home and we pick up a bucket once a week, and we empty the bucket into bins in our vehicle and then transport it to farms. But we've come up with some new innovations lately, which was the farmers market drop site, so that we brought several larger bins, and this was sponsored by the Ashland Rotary Club. And so people could bring their scraps to that location for free. And really, that's been the inspiration for a new model for us to create drop sites in neighborhoods around the area so that we can lower our rates. Because as you can imagine, going household to household takes up a lot more resources. So we're under the process of lowering our rate and establishing drop sites in the neighborhood so people can just walk a bucket over to that spot and pick up a new one.
Okay, so this is all right. Like a lot of like it's almost like the other end of the food pickup process, where you just trade bags.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I noticed that the price listed at the moment is $69.95 every 3 months. So you're talking
yes.
about a lower price than that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's $69.95 for 3 months. What we're going to switch it to is $14.95 a month mm-hmm. for the neighborhood compost project. So it'll drop significantly. Okay, once we establish that model.
Food waste is the topic here in the Jefferson Exchange. Adam Holtai owns Rogue Produce and runs Community Compost. Flavia Franco is a member of Southern Oregon Food Solutions, and you might have a couple of ideas to share in the conversation. Join us by email at jx@jeffnet.org. Flavia, so this addresses some of the waste, but there's more to the picture, including not making that much waste in the first place.
Right.
Why do we waste so much food?
A lot of it has to do with habit, and some of it has to do with confusion over expiration dates. There's best by, use by, and there's not a very clear standard on those labeling issues, and it's better just to go by your sight, your vision, and if you have to, your taste, but it. If it looks bad, if it feels bad, if it smells bad, it's bad,
mm-hmm.
right? But even milk that might be one day past expiration might still be good in hot cereal or something like that, or in a soup that doesn't, where you don't have the purest, taste of milk. But there's also habits that people have. Of I buy the same things every week, I don't use them, I go out to dinner, and before you know it, the food's gone bad before I have a chance to use it. So there's storage tips that people can do. And there's also, there's becoming more informed about the area of food. Food's very complicated. When this country started, almost 90% of our population was involved in agriculture. And now, it's only a fifth of the economy now and 20 million jobs, but that's still a very complicated process. So I'm giving a talk tonight. SOCAN, Southern Oregon Climate Action Now, is presenting its monthly meeting, and food waste will be the topic of discussion. And so you could go to their website and their calendar and click on that to register. There's no charge to listen in. It's going to be on Zoom.
It sounds like planning is a big part of this, though, that when not just sitting down and figuring out your shopping list, but also figuring out your shopping list in the context of your calendar. If you're eating out twice this week, maybe get a half a gallon of milk instead of a gallon of milk, that
sure.
sort of thing.
Sure. It's really easy, and it does involve changing habits, and that's the hard part, because people, our habits are unconscious, and so... the way you stack your refrigerator, the way you see yourself as an inventory manager in your own home makes a big difference on how you manage your food.
Adam Holtai, talk about where the community compost scraps go. I don't think we've talked about that at length yet. So where do they go? Where do they get their final fate as compost?
So right now we're working with three different farms, with Fry Family Farm in Medford, with Evers Ridge Farm in Medford, and with Joy Luck Farm in Talent. And we're constantly bringing on new farms as we find them and as they reach out to us. What's been really exciting about it is seeing how refined the systems are becoming and how there's collaboration between the farmers, because they seek to enrich their soil, enrich their seedlings. So there's starting to be a communication and kind of a standard model with how the scraps are being broken down and managed and combined with wood chips, horse manure, and other materials on the farm.
Was there any issue up front in finding places to compost?
Not really, because, I'm trying to remember.
This is useful stuff for them, obviously.
Back. Yeah, it's really sought after.
Mm-hmm. So you were describing having to sort things a little bit, and so this brings up a question for the people who are bringing this stuff to you, for you to take to the farms. I mean, there's a bit of a learning curve on recycling we've noticed, and so how about for what is and what is not good food waste for compost?
It hasn't really been much of a problem for us, because essentially the only two things we don't take are meat and fish, mm-hmm. so that's pretty easy for people to separate out. And also, since we're just collecting a small bin, and we dump the contents into larger bins, we're able to monitor what's in it. So if there's a plastic fork or a paper towel or something, we can remove it ourselves mm-hmm. really easily.
So no meat, no fish, but what about stuff that came in contact with those? If you had a sandwich and you didn't put the meat in the bin, but you got the bread left over and you threw that in the bin?
That'd be just fine.
Okay. All right. So, it's quite a learning curve again, just to figure out the science of it all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why it's nice to have the help of the farms, because they're the experts on actually composting it. A lot of people always ask me questions about how do I compost or how do I do my backyard compost, and I don't have, I have some knowledge, obviously, but they're the pros. The farmers are the pros. They have the incentive to really make the richest nutrients for their soil.
And how has been the growth in the pickups? I mean, have you gotten lots more people over the years since you started doing this?
It has. It really, our produce business really boomed during COVID, and that helped the compost grow. And then with the addition of the farmers market, since that was a free drop-off, that increased our numbers as well, because I think upwards of 60 or 70 people are bringing that to the market each week. I brought the bins there this morning down at the Armory. So that's helped increase our numbers. And just an overall awareness and word of mouth has helped build the numbers. And I think that by lowering the rates, that'll be another significant way to grow participation.
Adam Holtai and Flavia Franco are guests on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about food waste and what to do with it. You mentioned that you had the community compost before you started Rogue Produce. So have you developed a more efficient sort of model for Rogue Produce based on what you've learned from the compost end of things?
Well, with food waste, the Rogue Produce model is really efficient in the first place because we only do one delivery a week at this point. So when we get orders from our customers, it's really easy for us to order exactly what we need. So we don't really have any, as far as the business is concerned, we don't have any food waste left over after we do our deliveries.
So, Flavia, talk about the kinds of things that we talked about the ordering end of things, but then just in storage, you know, not automatically throwing things out when you hit the sell-by date. If it still smells okay, then, you know, it's probably all right. The stuff, for example, that you decide you really want to eat again as leftovers, but it ends up in a container behind something else in the fridge. Mm-hmm. Strategies, perhaps, for organizing your fridge and avoiding that level of food waste?
Sure. One problem that people have is dealing with leftovers. And a lot of times, all you need is a little creativity, and maybe once a week, we call it RCO night, is refrigerator cleanout night, is you make a stir fry or a soup of the stuff that's left over, and that kind of gets you back current to starting point where everything's fresh. And the other thing that you can do is to check what you have on hand before you go out shopping. Because I've been embarrassed where I've ended up with three containers of cottage cheese because I didn't know I already had it. And it's these sorts of things. And how you store your vegetables is important. Like certain vegetables should not be together stored. Some, onions kind of need to be left all by themselves.
Yeah, and some not in plastic bags, I noticed, because they
Correct.
Can get the all moist and mushy and in ways that get slimy in a hurry.
Yes.
Yeah, I appreciate the stir fry thing. That's something we do at our house, too. It's like, what's going into the pan tonight? Everything that's starting to go on us. I do notice that Southern Oregon Food Solutions mentions the Farm Bill in a recent newsletter. That is being debated now. What kinds of things would you like to see in a Farm Bill to help reduce food waste?
Well, food waste and our whole agriculture system needs an overhaul. So for too long, the same two crops have been getting major subsidies, which is corn and soy. That goes to feed livestock, a lot of it, big proportion of it. And we need more support for small farmers. We need more diversification in our growing. It's better for the pollinators. And we also need less pesticides and less herbicides. So that all points to regenerative agriculture. So whatever the Farm Bill can do to increase the percentage of acreage to restore our soil, because I heard that one-third of the soil in the Corn Belt in the Midwest is getting depleted. So we need better soil to retain water, so it requires less water, and we need healthier natural soils.
And so a couple seconds left here. Where can people hear you speak tonight? Where and when you're speaking tonight?
6 o'clock tonight. You can go to the SOCAN website and look on their calendar to March 28th. And register. There's no charge, but you need to register to get the Zoom link.
Okay. And Adam Holtai, quickly, how can people sign up for the service or take part in it?
Just go to the community compost tab on rogueproduce.com.
Okay, Adam Holtai from Rogue Produce and Community Compost, Flavia Franco from Southern Oregon Food Solutions, thank you both for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff.
And that'll do it for today's exchange. Check out the website, jeffexchange.org. Angela Decker produces the program with assistance from Nash Bennett, student assistant Zach Beagles at the controls today. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Take care of yourself. Don't try to drive an I-5. It is closed. And have a great day.